Well, our church is certainly in a time of transition. With a new pastor coming, I felt very impressed that in these few weeks I have left to talk about this period of transition that the church is going to go through to try to prepare our hearts and our minds for what will be happening officially here in just a few weeks. We're in the last stage. Actually, this church has been in transition for 2.5 years ever since the Parson Jim announced that he was going to retire. So we've been looking towards that day very actively the last 2.5 years. Now we're in the last stage of transition as we await the coming of a new pastor in which this church is called. We're literally moving from one era to another era. So what does transition look like? What does it really look like? And the you that are tuning in and watching us, and you may not be part of our church, but I think this will be helpful and instructional to you as you see how God works, how God has worked in the Bible, how he has worked in this church as you watch our program this morning. But let me define transition for a moment. It is said that the step between initial labor and delivery in childbirth is called transition. When something is being born, in whatever species, there is a transition involved. The dictionary definition of transition is a passage from one state or stage to another. So we are in a historic time in the life of this church. And so we must do it right. Much is at stake in the days ahead. And so I thought it would be good for us to look into the Bible and see some times of transition in Scripture and to see how it was dealt with there to give us some lessons to do it in a way that will be successful. So let's learn from those transitions in the Bible. We are in the process of transition. The plan is, how does it go? When we think of the plan of transition, how does it go in most churches? There are many different methods, many different ways that churches transition from one leader to another. Our pastoral search committee focused on church health. They focused on the needs of this church in order to develop a strategic plan to find a pastor with the matching giftedness that this church needed for its membership. I know a lot of times people can just ask the question, is there anyone who can help us? And they just find maybe the first one or one that they like and just draw that person in and bring that person in. But that's not what has happened here. This was not a haphazard approach. There was an intentional plan that was established. Search committee was very, very patient. And this intentional plan was established to develop a pastoral profile, help us know what kind of leader was needed, to match the strategic plan to ultimately meet the needs and mission of the church, to help choose the one that God was directing us to. Now, in the days ahead, in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about three different types or three different transitions in the Scripture. Today we start, and we'll talk about the transition from Moses to Joshua. We'll spend today and next week on this transition. And Moses to Joshua illustrates a good transition in a national leadership, and it provides wisdom for us as we go ahead. Then we'll be talking about the transition from Saul to David. It illustrates a disastrous transition of kings, one king to another, and it provides some warnings for us to be aware of as we go forward. And then lastly, in the last week, we'll talk about a transition from Paul to Timothy. It illustrates a glorious transition of pastors, provides also wisdom for us. So let me read to you this morning as we start today, two verses out of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, and it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, the Israelites. Transition. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. I've got a new leader now by the name of Joshua. Get ready, get prepared to continue the mission that we laid out originally. Joshua is going to lead you to this land across the river. So let's look at the story for a few moments. How did it begin? You look at Moses, and I think it's very instructive to look at Moses' birth. Moses lived during a time when Israel had been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. And as they got stronger and more powerful and more plentiful, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, got threatened, and he decided to implement a population control method. So he began telling the midwives of Israel to kill all of the baby boys that were born, eliminate them totally, so it would weaken the future of the nation. Ultimately, at this time, Moses was born, and he was hid by his mother for 3 months. But for when she could not hide him anymore, she put him in a little basket and put it on the river and let that basket literally float down the river, where she knew that Pharaoh's daughter would bathe in the river in that place, and she knew that she would find him. She did, and his sister was there. This was part of the plan, the providence of God. And she recommended his mother, Moses' mother, to be his nurse, as Pharaoh's daughter was drawn to Moses. And during that period of time, nurses literally nursed children from anywhere from 3 years to 12 years. So this was a long period of time. And the closest person to Moses in those early years would be his mother. Who would have a greater impact upon Moses than his mother? And certainly, she filled him with the great truths of God and the great truths of the history of Israel and the plan of God for this great nation as he was growing up. Ultimately, he joined the royal court as a prince in Pharaoh's palace. You see, Pharaoh, or Moses, was a man of destiny. And as you look at this story, you see God's providence was at work in his life. And only God could bring about what was going on in Moses' life. And so we go from his birth and we see the blessings that God brought into his life. As I said, he was a man of historical destiny, just as you and I are. We're not just plopped into this earth to meander through life, wander through life, do our own thing. God has a purpose for every one of us. Nobody can do what God has called you to do. Nobody on the face of the earth can accomplish what God's plan is for your life. So it's important for us to realize every one of us are men and women of historical destiny. God has a plan for our lives, and he calls us to accomplish that plan. So here was Moses, growing up in Pharaoh's palace. He was trained and educated at the highest level. Young men back in that day, they learned several languages. He got the best education that a young man could get. And during that time, he was also able to refine his God-given leadership abilities. Book of Acts tells us that he became a great orator, great skillful leader. At the age of 40, so he lived there under Pharaoh all of those years, he faced a very crucial decision. He came across his mother again, had poured into him his history, his background. And so he went out to see his people, his brethren, the Israelites. While he was there, he saw an Egyptian beating up on an Israelite, and Moses went, tried to intervene, ultimately killed the Egyptian. When word got out of that, he had to flee for his life and went out to Midian, spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. But Moses was faced with a decision when he saw the fight between the Egyptian and the Israelite. He would have to become a full-fledged Egyptian and let it just go on, let the Egyptian have his way, or he had to decide to join his own people, Israel. So Moses made a defining decision. He did this by choosing God, and when he chose God, that changed the trajectory of his life. Moses' life went in a different direction when he chose God, just like yours and ours, and mine would. Jess Joel, some years ago, turned away from a business professional career because God had a call on his life. And he surrendered. He answered that call to God some years ago. He was on the other side of the nation in Oregon. Ultimately, the call brought him to be educated here on the East Coast. And through the series of events, and I would say to you, the providence of God, God worked in his life, God worked in the life of this church, and in his education, and ultimately, the timing was perfect. The timing was what God had planned, and he came before the Pastoral Search Committee. Pastoral Search Committee loved him, voted unanimously. The deacons voted unanimously last week. This church unanimously called him a man that I think God was preparing for many years for just this opportunity. Now you look at Joshua. Joshua's birth wasn't nearly the same miraculous nature as Moses. The Bible says in a couple of verses, Numbers 13, verse 8, and in 1 Chronicles 7, 27, says nothing about the circumstances of Joshua's birth. It just says that he was Joshua, the son of Nun, N-U-N. Just told his father's name, that's all. Joshua's name and his father's name, nothing about any special circumstances. But God also told us about his blessings. It says in Numbers 11:28 that Joshua had been Moses' assistant since his days as a young man. In other words, he was under the mentorship of Moses. Moses guided him, led him, counseled him, trained him for future leadership. Ultimately, we see to take over the leadership of God's people. So you look at these two men. You look at Moses. You look at Joshua. Uniquely different. One trained in Egypt, the other trained under a man who was trained in Egypt. Telling us again that, and signifying to us that every leader goes through a training process. Every leader goes through a time where he is developed as that leader. And again, these men both were men of historical destiny. God had his hand on their lives, moving them to the situation we're going to talk about here this morning. As we look at the succession itself, what did it look like? When one leader succeeds another leader, what does it look like? Well, three things I want to point out to you this morning. First of all, there is a great vision of much more to be accomplished. God said in Numbers 27, verse 12 to 14, then the Lord said to Moses, go up to this mountain in the Abarim range and see the land I've given the Israelites. After you've seen it, you too will be gathered to your people, as your brother Aaron was. In other words, after you see the land, you're going to die. Because of a prior disobedience and rebellion in Moses' life, he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. He took them right to the very edge. But God says, because of your sin, because of your rebellion, you can't go in. I've got another leader to do that. You won't be allowed to enter in, but you'll die before that. A new leader will come, God said, and I'll appoint them to go into the land and conquer the enemy. Through this whole process and through my own life, I think, my own experience as a pastor, I realize that every pastor is an interim pastor. Doesn't matter how long, because every pastor has a beginning and an ending. That period might be 3 days, 3 months, 3 years, or 30 years, but there is a beginning and an ending. Parson Jim had a beginning and an ending. Some 30 years later was the end of his assignment here at Beacon Falls Congregational Church. And after a pastor completes his tenure, after he completes his assignment, a new leader comes in to carry that ministry to a new level. Moses took it to the edge of the river. He could see the promised land across the river, but he couldn't go in. God had Joshua appointed because there was more to do. And he appointed Joshua to take them across and defeat the enemy in the promised land. So first of all, there's a great vision of much more to do. I think this church must realize there's a great vision of much more to do in the days ahead. God's got some great opportunities, some great challenges, some great things that I think he has laid out for this church that he already knows about, that he's going to lead us to. Great potential victories. That leads us to, secondly, to accomplish this vision, there's a new leader that must be identified. God said in Numbers 27, Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this congregation, over this community, to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." Moses said, "God, we got to have a leader. If I'm passing from the scene, we have to have a leader to take them to the next level." You see, it takes different styles of leadership to accomplish different tasks. You can't have the same style of leader to do everything that needs to be done. Moses was a shepherd, guiding and leading the people through the wilderness. But when it came to crossing the Jordan and going into an enemy land to fight people who hated the Israelites, they needed a military commander, someone who could lead them into war. Joshua was that. He was a military commander who would lead the people into battle. Beacon Falls Congregational Church had a wonderful leader for 30 years who wonderfully led this church, very revered, very beloved. But a new leader now has come. And he has been chosen for a new task. Israel followed both leaders. They followed Moses through the wilderness. And then when they crossed the Jordan, they followed Joshua as he led them into battle. This church should follow Jess Joel's just as you did Parson Jim. 30 years, Parson Jim was here. You followed him. Now a new pastor comes, a new leader comes. You must not compare them. They're different people, different personalities. They'll have different leadership styles, different strengths, different weaknesses. It's not fair to compare them. This is a new beginning, a new leader, a new venture, a new beginning for this church. It would be wrong to compare the new leader to the old leader. Thirdly, as you see a great vision of more to be done, to accomplish this vision, there must be a new leader. Thirdly, there is a faithful God. And here's the key. There is a faithful God to be trusted. Because it really, bottom line, it doesn't matter who the leader is, what his abilities are or not. It's God who is the key component of anything you and I do in this world. In fact, it says in Numbers 27, 18, the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence, and give him some of your authority. So the whole Israelite community will obey him." First of all, God, this God who can be trusted, he is the one who ordered this transition. It began with a word from the Lord to Moses. "Moses, here's what I want you to do. Take Joshua, stand him before the whole community, lay your hands on him, and announce to the congregation what's about to happen." So this whole process was initiated by the Lord speaking to the current leader, who then passed the baton ultimately. This whole process for us started with the parson announcing his retirement, and that set into play a whole number of events. But what God was telling Moses was the people needed to understand that this was God's doing. It wasn't something that the people did. It wasn't their choice. It was God's doing. So God ordered the transition, and then God directed the whole process. It's amazing. God chose the replacement. He said, "You take Joshua, a man in whom my spirit is within him." So God told Moses who the next leader would be. Didn't necessarily do that to this church or churches today, but he did in that process. The lesson, I think, for us to understand is that no committee has the right to choose spiritual leadership. No group does. It's God's right alone. We're just simply to respond to his choice. As we search for a leader, it wasn't our leader, it wasn't our choice. It was the choice that God had already made for this church. It was our responsibility as a pastoral search committee, as leaders of this church, to find the person that God had already chosen and was leading us to. Selecting a leader is not a political process. It's not a popularity vote. It's not something a person can earn, but he must be called into leadership. God tells us in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4, no one, talking about leadership, no one can take this honor upon himself. He must be called by God. I never called myself or chose myself to be a pastor. I answered a call that God made upon my life. Every true pastor answers a call that God makes. Jess Joels did not call himself. God called him, and he answered that call. You see, Joshua also was called by God to step into the lead after Moses. There was a great vacuum when Moses was being moved out. Joshua filled that vacuum. Jess Joels now will fill the vacuum left by Parson Jim. Now, when Moses followed, when Joshua stepped into this leadership position, it wasn't a career move, but it was a step of obedience to God. It's God alone who can call, and God alone who can equip us for such an awesome task. Joshua, God told Moses, was a spiritual man. He was filled with the Spirit, who allowed God to prepare him all of those years for a leadership position. All those years he was under the training of Moses, God was developing him. God was pouring himself into his life. God was showing him what was going to be needed when one day he would step up into that leadership position. So God chose, not only chose the replacement, but he chose how the transition was to be communicated to the congregation. God told Moses that he was to publicly hand the authority to Joshua so that the whole congregation would follow him. Not going to do this in a corner. Not going to do it under a shadow. It's going to be publicly so everyone can see. There was to be no confusion about who is in charge, who is the replacement. The position was not up for grabs, but was publicly and officially handed to Joshua. And it was essential that the whole assembly needed to witness the transfer, because there were going to be a lot of changes. They weren't going to wander through the wilderness anymore. They didn't need a shepherd. They needed a military commander, because they were going to war. God was going to change the tempo of things. And other authorities, God said, should witness and confirm this appointment. And so God ordered the transition. He directed the whole process, and thirdly, he directed how Joshua's leadership was to function. How it was to function. Joshua was given much authority, but not unlimited authority. He was to function in relationship to the other spiritual leaders that were part of the nation of Israel. You see, all human authority has limits. God alone has unlimited authority. Joshua isn't alone, and a leader isn't alone in the process of hearing God. Hearing God is something we all do in humble cooperation with one another. As God speaks, God leads, we follow. Now, how did they know that this was God's will? Well, God revealed it, I think, along the way. Through the years, through the events, and through the situations, through the things that God did, Moses and Joshua and the nation of Israel knew that Joshua was the man because God directed it, and they understood that. That's a big concept that they received, that they understood, and that they submitted to. Now, how do we know that the man that has been called here, how do we know this is God's will? Well, I think God's revealed it along the way. Pastoral search committee went through a very thorough vetting process, asked a ton of questions, sought, put together a profile, sought God through this whole process, and ultimately ended with a unanimous vote. The deacons then came on this. They also had a unanimous vote. And ultimately, it all culminated last week in a unanimous vote for this church. God revealed it along the way. He directed, he unified this church in a very special way. You could just sense the electricity here last week. And as I took the votes in last week, it wasn't a surprise to me. In fact, I didn't want to say anything, but I had sensed that there might be a unanimous vote. And that was just, as every vote came in, it was yes, 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 yes. Wonderful. It was awesome. As we go forward, we'll talk more about this next week, but I believe the future of this church, as Hudson Taylor once said, the future for this church is as bright as the promises of God. It's a dark world right now. It's a chaotic world. It's a hate-filled world. We're very divided as a nation. But we have a God who has given us over 7,000 promises in his word related to time, who will never fail in one of those promises. So our future, the future of this church, is as bright as the promises of God. It will not be one man who comes and waves a magic wand. It will take everybody contributing and giving of themselves to accomplish what God wants to do in this place. God has provided a new leader, a new vision. God used Parson Jim to build a foundation. For some 30 years, he labored here, was loved and revered, built a foundation. And God now has provided a leader who will build on that foundation and lead you to, I think, the days ahead will be the greatest days in the history of this church. How exciting. How exciting to be a part of this church in this day and time. And as this church is enjoying a new beginning, if you're here or if you're watching by live stream, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can also have a new beginning by turning from whatever you're worshiping, whatever you're following, whatever you're believing in, turning from your sins and turning to Jesus Christ as your only solution, accepting Him, trusting Him, following Him as your Savior and Lord. And He'll do that if you ask Him to. Just give Him your heart, give Him your life. If you live in Beacon Falls community and you don't have a church home, let me ask you to consider Beacon Falls Congregational Church. This is an exciting place to be. Great days are ahead, and I invite you to join us. God bless you. Thank you so much.